Sorry, Jerry. Thank you.
Very good. Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners, Director, Deputy Director. My name is Julie Sandberg, and I'm the Real Estate Services Manager for the agency. Today, we have three transactions to put before you, one acquisition and two property management issues. To begin the presentation, I'd like to walk you through the process that we go through in the agency to determine which properties we eventually may bring before the commission. As you've heard this morning, there's a lot of process in what the agency does. We have to strike a balance between the public interest and a process that we're dealing with public funds and the public interest. So it at times is a very laborious process. It's very essential in the world of land acquisition in particular. The agency has a number of species and habitat plans that we rely on. We have a mission, we have value statements, and strategic plans that guide our decisions about where we look to acquire property, or when opportunities present themselves, how we justify why we need more land. As we go through the process, that scoping and need, those higher level documents, guide the regions when they respond to our interest in Lands 2020 process. This is an annual process where we go to the regions and we ask them to provide their justification for what lands, what properties they would like to acquire in the future. The Lands 2020 process also includes a lot of scrutiny in terms of where might the funding come from for these proposals. We have to balance what grants, federal and state, are available, since the majority of our lands were acquired with some kind of grant strings. If we obtain funding for these properties, then we can move into the land transaction process. If a landowner is interested in doing business with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, they must be patient. That's where it's really important to work with partners in case something happens that that landowner needs to make a different move, and we rely on our partners to work with us to make that happen. We are required by law to conduct an appraisal before acquiring property interests. Those appraisal requirements are determined whether it's a state-funded acquisition or a federally funded. If it's federally funded, there's an additional appraisal process called Yellow Book that has some requirements in it. Additionally, if it's federal funds, we have to go back to that federal agency, and they get to review that appraisal as well. Each two-year cycle, we update our list of reliable appraisers, certified appraisers, and that is the group that we can go to throughout that two-year period when we have an opportunity to appraise whether an acquisition or a property interest. Once the appraisal is completed, we're working with the landowner. We go back to them. We issue them a statement of just compensation. That is required under law to state very clearly the purpose for the transaction, that it's not due to condemnation, that's just an offer is made. Then we can start the negotiations, and if we're able to work through to a signed purchase and sale agreement or an option, we can bring that before the commission. The first transaction I have before you today is a land acquisition in southern Chelan County. This acquisition I'm pleased to bring to you because it culminates over 10 years of work by a tremendous amount of local, community, state, and federal supporters for the future of this Stimmelt-Squilchuk Basin. The properties in question, and I don't think I have a pointer in front of me, in the center of your screen, there are some lighter orangish colored parcels. You can't see the numbers real well, but it's parcels 16 and 22. There's a triad of purple parcels, and section 22 is right above those. The ownership in this area is predominantly state, but also Chelan County has been active in the last couple of years as part of a long-term plan. And that's what I wanted to address also. The 10 years that we've been working on the proposal began in 2006 with Department of Natural Resources ownership of four parcels in kind of a diamond shape that they had offered into a land transaction and exchange with a private company. The local entities got together and raised some serious concerns about the future of this basin. Former Senator Linda Parlett was very instrumental in going to the legislature and getting $50,000 appropriated to form a Stimmelt partnership, which was a collaboration of state, local, and federal organizations to determine what should the future of this area be, the Stmelt-Squalchuk Basin. After a couple years of work, they produced a document, had a number of studies, and said the best home for these four parcels would be Department of Fish and Wildlife because of their mission. DNR agreed to work with us to try and acquire those parcels. In 2013, we purchased Section 20 and 28, and we've been working since that time to obtain the funding to purchase those last two parcels. The purple ownership is Chelan County. The, I guess, brighter green is DFW ownership. And again, the brownish tone are ones that are still under the Department of Natural Resources control. Before I speak any more about the transaction, I'd like to address some concerns that have been raised in the last couple of weeks about an easement, a utility easement that DNR has granted to a local orchardist. You can see Upper Wheeler Road crosses Section 16 and goes into Section 17 to the west. Section 17 is private ownership. It's owned by an orchardist who approached DNR about putting an easement, an additional easement, along that Upper Wheeler Road so that they could at some point put in utilities and irrigation piping and water for their Section 17 to potentially develop orchard. We discussed this for a long time with DNR. We weren't interested in adding more encumbrances to the property. DNR determined that they were going to sell that easement to the orchardist. We entered into a purchase and sale agreement with the Department of Natural Resources on December 7th, and on December 19th, they signed into place the easement. Our purchase and sale agreement acknowledged that an easement would be put in place for this utility and irrigation potential purpose. The easement has since been recorded. So that brings us to today and our proposal to purchase the last of these two parcels. The Board of Natural Resources approved this transaction on Monday, January 3rd. Again, a little relational to the city of Wenatchee. The two parcels, the final ones, 1,276 acres. For a value of $1.95 million. We have a combination of funds, both federal Section 6, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Recreation and Conservation Office funding contributing to this potential acquisition. This is a nicely colored blob map, but the intent is to show you the summer elk habitat. The bright red is the more intense areas. You can see barely our parcels, the four parcels outlined in red. Section 16 and 22, again, key habitat for summer movement for these elk to higher pastures for calving, for the tree cover, for forage, and for water. The movement ultimately would get them to the Columbia River in the winter months. While there are a number of species that these parcels can provide homes for, of course, the elk and deer are predominant. They are the food source for the predators that potentially could come into this area. There's also timber on the property, and it's within the range on the eastern slopes of the Cascades for the northern spotted owl. The final two parcels are estimated to cost us about $16,000 per year in operations and maintenance. These funds would come from our federal grants for PR to support the hunting. There's tremendous opportunity in this basin for recreation, wildlife viewing, as well as hunting and fishing. There are 90 miles of groomed trails. There's a lot of public access in these parcels. We also managed a couple of the parcels that Chelan County owns. So we've got a long-term ownership, co-management, community interest in these parcels. I'll move to the next transaction, which is a property management issue.
Yes.
Thank you.
I just had a quick comment, I guess, and we talked about this. I know all the hard work that went into this over the years, and I'm fully in support of it. Some of the letters we received, some folks that had some concerns, almost made it seem like the easement was somehow separate from the purchase. And as you explained to me after that, that's not the case. We get the easement with the purchase, and it just falls on the WDFW, the agency now, to make sure that if that pipeline ever goes in, that those concerns that those organizations had, are looked at and met, and I'm sure they will be. So I appreciate talking with you and clearing that up for me, and it's a great project.
I'm just curious, since it's kind of a funny shape in terms of our management, what currently is on Section 17 and also Section 21? And ownership, well, you told us the ownership of 17, but what's 21?
It's the middle, yeah.
Okay, it's private ownership in the middle in Section 21. So the Stamilt watershed area is a mix of ownership of federal, state, and private. There are orchardists within that Section 21. There's an orchardist that owns Section 17 as well as Section 15. So there's a challenge ahead for the groups managing this area and ongoing talks about, is there a way to better move some of our state ownership to kind of block up for those migration corridors and work with those orchardists to see how best to manage in the long term?
There's access, I suppose, to those orchardists, right?
Yes. You can see Upper Wheeler Road is a county road.
Okay. But nothing into 21, is there?
21. There's other roads into the area. They're just not showing up on this map.
Any other questions?
I assume you've had a lot of discussion with the Stamilt Partnership Community Group on this proposal, and this is met with their approval.
We have Jim Brown, our region director, is a member of that Stamilt partnership, and they are supportive of the transaction. They, as you've seen from the correspondence, hands down, this is the direction we've been wanting to go for many years. The easement was an unexpected hiccup at the end, but it is in place. It comes with the property. I will add that because so many of our properties are acquired with fund sources, we have contingencies in our purchase and sale agreement that we can't go through with it and close until our funding sources are satisfied. So we're still working through this issue of, what impact does this additional encumbrance have on the transaction and the funding sources. So we've got still some work to do, but definitely the partnership is supportive.
Terrific. Thank you.
Okay, we'll get back to the Anderson Island Conservation Easement in Pierce County. This is a longstanding conservation easement that was donated to us by the Nature Conservancy in 1982. They had purchased property on Anderson Island, which is just off of the city of west of the city of Steilacoom, to protect bald eagle nests back when they were an endangered species. And there was active nest building and use of those nests in the 80s and early 90s until the nest was abandoned. That was confirmed by our biologists in 2006. And then in 1996. In 2006, one of the nest trees blew over. So we have this isolated 10-acre parcel on an island that we have a property interest in. We've spoken with the Anderson Island Park and Recreation District. Since that time, they have purchased the underlying land ownership. We have a statute that allows us to transfer a real property interest if it's in the public interest. The commission has that authority. The Anderson Island Park District is an entity that's available to accept it, owns the underlying land, would manage it long-term for passive recreation. So this would be a transfer of a conservation easement. The last transaction that I have is a right-of-way that we are granting to Snohomish PUD. This is located about a mile and a half northeast of the city of Granite Falls. The department owns about 60 acres in that area. The interesting thing is it didn't come with grant strings. This is one of those fish properties that was acquired through legislative funding, so there's no restriction on adding additional encumbrances to the property. The Snohomish PUD has a highway widening project, and they needed a tiny amount of land, 0.37 acres, to expand their right-of-way. Our staff have worked very closely with the PUD to make sure the public hasn't been impacted, because we have public viewing at a fish ladder at the South Fork Stillaguamish up on the property. So the PUD has appraised and offered us $2,400 for this fraction of an acre to expand their right-of-way. Those are the three transactions that I request your approval of, but public comment is next.
Yes, and there is no public input on this. Yes.
I have a question. On the Granite Falls project, since water quality is always an issue with road building and fish, I'm sure that's been taken into account with the issuance of the easement.
Definitely. Again, our staff on the ground have worked very closely with the PUD to ensure the parameters of the project don't interfere with the operations.
Other questions? And as I said, again, there's no public input on this, so I think we can move to the
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the acceptance of items 1, 2, and 3, I guess, as presented.
Okay, been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Second's been made. Any further discussion, Commission? Seeing none, I'll take a vote. All those in favor of the action of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Julie. That was very clean, clear cut, and nice pictures, too.